So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Happy Thursday to you. You are indeed in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Always a pleasure to crosstalk with Payne and Pendergast. But now we're off and running on a Thursday.
Cross streams with John Lopez, apparently.
somebody said homeless, it's the unhoused. Isn't that the same thing?
No, not quite. Not quite, because then you were referring to him as an unhoused person. They retain their personhood.
Oh, okay.
Nobody cares about this in this moment. Nobody cares about any of my thoughts about anything outside of what we got going on with these Texans headed into the Steelers. Actually, I think that there's something interesting that's really and truly breaking in the world of sports. Mm-hmm. But yeah, thank you for joining us on this Thursday. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. Figgy Fig on the ones and twos, as he often is. And you, rolling with us and joining us. As you usually do, and we appreciate that. Get involved with the program. That's one of the additional steps that we want you to take. No warranty necessary. 713-572-4610. Again, 713-572-4610 is the number to text. And we have appreciation for the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers for the live streams. Both the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. But where you at, John Lopez, on the news that is going on? Actually, I was very in on feeling good about myself being right on the idea that the Miami Dolphins were going to retain Mike McDaniel. And then this morning they were like, psych!
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel out of there.
I thought they were going to keep him.
I knew they was going to fire him.
Really?
I bet
back
you
in week four.
Yeah. Well,
I've been saying this since week four. I'm right. Yeah. I told you I was right.
Okay, so a lot of things happening here. First and foremost, this is would it have happened if Jim Harbaugh was not available?
I don't believe so. But the early reporting is Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, went through the process of, after the season, debriefing, sitting down with Mike McDaniel, took some time to ruminate, which is the part where I raise eyebrows, but then decided ultimately to part ways with Mike McDaniel. You could read that as him just having a less accelerated process of evaluating his head coach. Unlike some other coaches that, like Atlanta, where the Blank family fired Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot the day the season ended.
Yeah.
Or you could look at this in the way that I think we both are, which is a big fish just hit the pond, and we kind of are interested in that, especially since we're not sold completely on Mike McDaniel.
Well, seven jobs open, and now an eighth. So basically a quarter of the NFL.
Not basically. That is a quarter. Yeah.
A quarter of the NFL is open. And, of course, you know, like most people, you say, well, how does this affect me? And I think
Nick Cayley, watch your back, buddy.
Not Nick Cayley. Matt Burke, there's another. He's going to interview in a lot of places.
I hadn't gotten to that place, but that's a good one. And his name has not popped up yet. Now, obviously, I think there's a lot of coaches for whom are coordinators that have not necessarily gotten that shout yet. The likes of Chris Shula, Brian Flores, those guys actually not Flores. Flores is available, but yeah,
they're in playoff mode though, so could be a reason too.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, is that they've not been added to the pool of names that are floating around early. I hadn't considered the idea that that's another, I guess, opportunity for Matt Burke to possibly be taken away from
the
squad.
And he is going to be interviewed already reportedly several places. Tennessee, I believe, is one. Maybe another.
I got to pull up the tracker. Can I be honest?
It's head spinning.
I'm so bad at keeping these things straight.
Yeah.
When there is, they're talking about him and he has interviews on Thursday with this team and Friday with that team and then Sunday with this. I have a horrible time trying to keep those straight, so I appreciate that CBS Sports has an active tracker.
But even beyond that, this is where I'm going with it. And it would be good for them, but it definitely affects the Texans. 25% of the jobs are open, right? And Matt Burke is going to be interviewed. Just by doing the math, he's going to have a better chance now than he did an hour ago of being looked at for one of these jobs.
Sure.
Beyond that, why is this offense all of a sudden, why does it have a life all of a sudden? We keep going back to two guys, Ben McDaniels, Gerard Johnson. Those are offensive coordinators for many potential head coaching candidates. But if Matt Burke gets a job, You don't think he's going to look at those two dudes?
That is a great point, specifically the correlation that he has. I think also there's an argument to be made that with a lot of the defensive head coach possibilities, that is what it looks like. The more polished, the more interesting defensive or head coaching candidates seem to be on the defensive side. And when you do that, it is incumbent upon them to come side saddle with them with a offense coordinator that they believe in. And these guys have had some tentacles around the league, even if they are here in Houston right now.
Well, I mean, D'Amico Ryans did it. D'Amico Ryans was a defensive coordinator in San Francisco. Who does he bring immediately? I guess he was an offensive assistant. Or was he a coordinator already? Anyway, no, I think he was an offensive assistant. He brings Bobby Slowick. Now, it didn't work out, but what I'm saying is Nick Caley here has been helped a lot by Ben McDaniels and Gerard Johnson. Now, again, I would be very happy that they get these jobs, but it does affect the Houston Texans.
Without question. Yeah. Without question. The possibility of being rated year over year is one of those things that you kind of need to bake into the cost of doing business when you are a good football team. And in a kind of fortunate way, early on, you've not had that. Had to succumb to that just yet. It looks like you might be on the doorstep of that, especially as you add another one to the pool. Of course, the place where I think a lot of people's minds have gone is just Mike McDaniel is a hot name if you're talking about the potential of being an offensive coordinator. And for him in particular, I don't think that he exists in the plane of Kevin Stefanski,
right,
where you get fired and I think you're immediately available to turn back around and get another job. I think that he would need the block to cool down on his name, spending a year out and maybe getting another opportunity. And maybe that's even outside of the realm because of his particular personality and the way that he presents. Maybe that hampers him from getting another job as a head coach. If he is willing, that is a very, very interesting offensive coordinator name. And of course, as I've said, somewhat in the context of a head coaching job search, there's not a lot of offensive guys out there. And so, I mean, we're seeing the likes of quarterbacks coaches getting head coaching looks because teams want to get a feel for what the offensive side of the football looks like for head coaching options. Doesn't that also cut into the offensive coordinator ranks possibilities? Not saying that you are definitively not going to have Nick Caley here, but God forbid and knock on wood, should something go wrong on Monday and you lose this game, especially with
we're going to be talking about it.
Yeah. And I have no idea what that building operates like. There's been a lot of we all operate together, so to say. But there's been instances this season where D'Amico Ryans has at least kind of projected that things need to change on offense and how much of that is temporary and how much of that factors into an end of year evaluation where maybe he goes, what we have at the offense isn't good enough.
I think that's a possibility, but I think it's a more of a remote possibility than you do.
Okay.
And the reason is Nick Caserio, and for that matter, D'Amico Ryans, what Nick Caley brings to the table is exactly the format, the template, whatever you want to call it, that they like in terms of how they like to operate football. What I'm saying is I think Nick Caley's going to have some job security no matter what happens Monday night, but Nick Caley is going to be less equipped to help C.J. Stroud kind of embrace this offense and incorporate some passing schemes and concepts without either or both of Ben McDaniels and Gerard Johnson. Those two guys have been huge. So I think they're going to stay with Nick Caley. My big worry is one or both of those guys goes, and again, you know I'd be very happy about it, but as a Texans fan, if one of those two guys or both of those guys goes, Nick Caley all of a sudden might have to take, he might take a step back in turn because his concepts and the amount he knows about the passing game has been bolstered by them.
Certainly. Yeah. And that's what a staff is there for in any circumstance. I think that would it be fair to say that the fan tendency to go, oh, Mike McDaniel or another hot name out there offensive coordinator wise isn't where I should be and we're ahead of our skis. We got playoff football to worry about. And I recognize that in the rest of the show, we're going to be talking a lot about that. Mm-hmm. But if you get to that point at the end of the season where the hypothetical we've set up is there, where maybe Matt Burke gets a job and that eats into your offensive staff because one of those guys that's been helpful goes, is it maybe more important to look at who does Nick Caley look to add onto his staff? One of these, a position coach somewhere that has upside.
Yeah.
Maybe not even specifically someone like a Yudinski.
Or maybe from within.
maybe even from within. Maybe mm-hmm. that's a hire from within. But mm-hmm. the reason why I'm thinking outside is someone that comes in and brings a fresh set of ideas, because that collaborative effort seems to have very much helped him over the course of the season.
Absolutely. I think that's a possibility. When it comes to Mike McDaniel, though, he has a relationship with D'Amico Ryan.
He does. He's part of that whole Shanahan.
He's coached here.
Yeah.
he knows.
Again, with all of the principals in that Shanahan McVay yes. kind of triangle. Triangle is not even
He has
right.
that Kubiak connection, which that name, you know, carries some weight in this town. He knows the McNairs. All that said, I don't think he fits Caserio and D'Amico in terms of their approach. Now, if he wants to come in and take a step back, not just as a coordinator, but as maybe a quarterback's coach, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
That ain't going to happen. Then maybe, but no, it's going to be someone else that can maybe bolster that the passing game.
So. And I mean, one of the things that we have jumped over in the hypothetical we've set up, and we're doing all of this because, mm-hmm. you know, the breaking news of this morning is that Mike McDaniel has actually, the Dolphins have moved on from him yeah. as head coach. So they become the eighth team with a head coaching opening in this particular cycle as of yet. One of the things that we haven't talked about is if you do end up in this hypothetical mm-hmm. where you're either dealing with looking for a new OC. Let's go with the possibility that you look for a new OC. Yeah. I don't believe that'll happen, honestly. I think there's a small percentage chance of that. How much would you want to end up in a place, or even making the decision on whether you want a new OC? The idea of going to a third offense coordinator in 4 years. The idea of also not just doing that, but going to another or going back to the system, flip-flopping to another system that is very yep. different, that you probably need to
yep.
gear your offensive line towards again. Like, there's a lot of different considerations outside of just who is calling those plays yeah. and how effective they are.
Yeah, that's a big thing for what are you doing to your quarterback, man? You know, that's the number one thing. New terminology, new offensive linemen, to be honest. You know, offensive line that would maybe fit a different scheme.
Right.
You know, you're not just changing coordinator, you're changing personnel.
Without question.
You know, so that's why I don't see it happening, but even just changing to a third offensive coordinator that kind of fits this personnel is still a problem. It's still new terminology. It's still, you know, some issues for C.J. Stroud. It's still kind of holding back C.J. Stroud's strengths as a quarterback.
Yeah, and I see you, many of you on the text line with all sorts of different opinions that I appreciate you guys sending in. A32 says, we have an opportunity to be great and are stuck on mid. That's what I'm afraid of. Unlock Stroud. Mm. And that's those are the balancing acts. Those are all the considerations
I've been
that you
thinking
have to make.
About that since the beginning. Yeah.
Without question. It's one of the frustrations that happens when you make that offensive hire.
Unlock Stroud. I like that term.
And that's kind of this is the part I hate, because you want to win. That's the ultimate goal. But sometimes the winning can cover up the real issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they win, then of course they're not going to fire the OC.
Hell, does that not feel like what you're, at least what they feel like they're dealing with yeah. across the way in Pittsburgh? Mm-hmm. The idea that the continual winning that Mike Tomlin will do, not being able to have mm-hmm. a sub-500 season, has been a little bit of a deodorizer for the stink of not being able to really have effective winning.
Yeah.
Things that really lead you to championship.
And mm-hmm. that's why a lot of people might give people like the Ravens a hard time for letting go of their coach. But it's like, man, we want to be better than just getting to the playoffs and getting knocked out.
Yeah.
We want to be better than this.
Mm-hmm. It's the mediocrity treadmill, right, that you want to avoid.
It's
in
the
sports.
Cincinnati. It's the who was the coach that was at Cincinnati? Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
The whole just – staying there. Until,
hell, it's Mike Tomlin.
Get into the, yeah.
What do they call him now? And we'll hear about it. Mediocre Mike.
That is what they would call him.
I mean, yeah. And I think he could kind of hold on to, I won a Super Bowl or mm-hmm. got to a Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
but you don't want to be Marvin Lewis, where you just, you know, always win the division and get bounced out in the first round.
Yeah. Marvin Lewis is a fun one, because I am way higher on Marvin Lewis than I think the average person is. Mm-hmm. No time for that right now.
Yeah, I know it's the Cincinnati Bengals, but man.
That is big. And I think you guys know I have quite a disdain for the way that they operate. But that's neither here nor there. We're just getting going here on a Thursday on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, actually speaking of Mike Tomlin was speaking, and did he kind of give away a little bit of what could be the game plan come Monday? Let's talk about that next.
I love
here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Of that immortalized for a period that I don't know how long will be me yelling that if Lil Kiki says it's off the slide, then it's off the slide.
Off the slide.
You are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610.
Is mama call him Clay?
I'm going to call him Clay. That's just what it is. Yeah. You know? That's the guiding principle here. We were just talking about the breaking news on the morning that Mike McDaniel will be let go of by the Miami Dolphins. And it led to a conversation about, you know, what the Texans do at offensive coordinator, what could happen with more and more jobs being open and Matt Burke being a prime candidate. Somebody was saying that, you know, him calling, you know, him not calling the defense for D'Amico for so long is not going to give him an opportunity. I think that this year gave him a lot of shine taking over and seeing the defense get better. I don't know how much you could say specifically just because he was calling the defense. There's other factors, but I think that you give him credit for what this defense has done.
I think for the simple fact that this defense was getting so much love nationally.
Yes.
And his name was coming up. It wasn't just D'Amico. His name was coming up.
And this isn't his first ride.
No.
He's been around.
Yeah. What, like something like 11, 12 seasons in the league, something like that?
Yeah. Nah, his name definitely going to pop. I don't know if he's going to get a head coaching job this year, but it's going to pop up.
I think it might. I think he might.
His name going to pop up.
And the other thing about all this, and I know we're going to talk about Mike Tomlin here, but just real quick, the other thing about this is when people hire like a Saban disciple or whatever, they're hiring not just that guy for what he's done, but for the fact that he's learned how to run a program.
Yeah.
You know, and Matt Burke working so closely with D'Amico Ryans and the swarm and how they built the character guys and the types of people they bring in and how they play. That's what you're hiring.
Yeah.
Well, not just that. Yeah. I think that what thing you have to remember is not just the X's and O's, those things. It's the soft skills.
Yeah.
And he is so good at that.
He's a great personality.
And it comes across quick. So, like, I'm sure he's fantastic in an interview. It's there with the substance. I'm not trying to say that it's flash early and then nothing behind it.
Sure.
The substance is there, but getting that substance across quickly, he has a knack for that.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for earning a job in that way. If you walk into an interview and can immediately charm the person you're talking with, but then also hit them with substance, I imagine that gives you a higher opportunity of making that happen. So,
yeah, that was always my beef whenever we was talking about the offensive, finding the offensive head coach, and especially if it's somebody under, let's say, like an Andy Reid. I'm just like, oh, he don't call play.
It doesn't matter. You're running the program.
Yeah,
you're learning.
Like it's not all about just calling the plays as a head coach. Are you a leader of men? Can you command a whole team? Can you run a whole program deal?
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of it, too.
But we'll see. We'll see. We've got time before we get to that place. We've got time before Matt Burke even starts any level of interviews in this coaching carousel. What we don't have too much time for is the Texans matching up with the Steelers. Well, we got a little bit. You got through the weekend. Monday night, obviously, you'll hear that here on Sports Radio 610. Mike Tomlin, the opposing head coach and obviously a well-respected man in the league, when it comes to his accolades and his time in, he stepped to the podium to talk about this game upcoming. And he started by talking about, you know, this Texas team and how they play like the head coach played when he was on the field.
That group sets the pace for them. They play with great energy and emotion. They play well as a collective. They have an appetite for rising up in moments. It just seems like every week you're seeing game-changing and game-deciding plays from their defense in terms of closing close ball games out. They make the necessary plays in weighty moments. But you don't get in this tournament unless you had your moments. You certainly don't win 9 straight unless you have continuity and complementary play. They're good in all 3 phases. I think about D'Amico Ryans when I watched their tape and how he played the game, and a tip of the cap to him. I think the Houston Texans play collectively the way that he did. They're tough and smart. They play and play to win. They play with emotion, as I mentioned. And so, man, really excited. Don't take home playoff games for granted. Certainly don't take home Monday night playoff games for granted. Man, it's an honor to be in this position, excited about it. But I and we show respect to that.
All right, so first of all, it's just always a pleasure to listen to Mike Tomlin talk.
He just says things in weird ways.
Well, stay tuned for confessions. Stay tuned for confessions.
I just want him to do a "we do not care," and that's it.
Yeah, stay tuned for confessions. But beyond that, I mean, could not have been more effusive about what D'Amico Ryans is, what his defense has done. And then he got a little bit more specific on the rush ends. And I want to hear that, because then that'll lead to a question I have for you. And that is Mike Tomlin talking about Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson.
On the defensive side of the ball, they just got a kick butt unit. They do. They got a top flight edge tandem in Hunter and Anderson. They got a top flight corner tandem on the outside. And so they rush very well. They cover very well. They're not trying to split the atom schematically. They don't have to when you have corners and edge rushers like that. I'll start first with the edge rushers. Will Anderson and Hunter are simply the most dynamic edge rush tandem in the National Football League in 2025. They got 27 sacks between them. I think it's 12 for Anderson, 15 for Hunter. They're a formidable group. You could talk about the things that you need to do schematically to minimize them and all of that. It's nothing that they haven't seen. We better stay out of a bunch of one-dimensional passing circumstances, because if we're in those circumstances, we're going to be in trouble. And that's just the reality of it. They do a good job of being aggressive and combative in coverage. They got a really good secondary. Petrie, their safety slash nickel, very versatile, and he displays that versatility on the back end and in safety circumstances, and also in his ability to cover and blitz as a nickel. They got a real good linebacker tandem, man, that's highly active and productive. They minimize big plays. I was just looking at their statistical profile. They're top five in most, you know, in most statistical categories. Points, I think they're number one in yards per game. They're in the top five in rush defense and pass defense, scoring, yards.
Yep.
And so certainly they've been top tier and elite in just about all areas all year with that group.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, so
Tomlin was like, I bet he had a blast.
Oh, my God.
If Tomlin was not playing against this team, he would just be in here.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say that portion of this. Yeah.
We get it. But in a weird way, so effusive about the defense. Don't split the atoms. They just come straight at you. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. The rush hands. We better not be in some, compromised positions or whatever.
No, he said we should not be in very basically simple passing circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is funny because when you talk about trying to stop edge rushers like this, you would think max protect, and that ends up with two guys in a route, which, again, is what he's talking about.
Right.
Which, interestingly enough, does that give his hand away? Because
yes.
if you are in passing situations, even if you're going to take shot plays, which it feels like the Steelers need to have, yeah. I think Dan Orlovsky on NFL Live was talking about the idea that, he was on with McAfee. Mm-hmm. He was saying the Steelers need to take shots. Well, in order to do that, you've got to make sure you give Aaron Rodgers time to take the shot. And in that instance, you'll be likely in a circumstance where you have few guys in a route, and he's saying we need to stay out of that.
Well,
is it possible that they just go, we're going to match the physicality that they have with our physicality, which is running the damn ball?
Thank you. That in a weird way, all he's talking about is pass rush and don't get in these bad positions. And it got me thinking about a text that you sent us yesterday afternoon.
Look at you actually liking one of my texts.
I like all your texts.
Well, no, you don't. No, don't lie to me.
That is a lie. But I'm like, okay, I think Reggie might be on to something here. You know, because this is also a little bit of politicking here. He's just going, look how great they are rushing.
Yeah, but typically when they're politicking, they keep it pretty cut and dry. He started getting into the statistical profile of why the pass game it sounds was
like,
going to be rough.
It sounded like he was doing this just in case I lose.
Yeah, well, maybe.
That's also a good point. Good team right here.
That's politicking in an entirely different way.
But it speaks to what you said. Tell the people what you said, because I think there's a lot to it.
The Steelers, the last 8 weeks of the season, because sometimes full season metrics don't give you a good idea. Mm-hmm. What they did 10, 12, 14 weeks ago doesn't often give you as much of a picture. So in the last 8 weeks, the Steelers, ninth in rushing DVOA, fourth in rushing EPA, and seventh in rushing success rate.
That's good.
They are good at running the football. Yeah. Both Jaylen Warren and Kenny Gainwell have good, interesting things, and they do it in different ways. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at some of their reps, some of the different ways they do it, outside zones. But they are a physical running team, and especially if you have these kind of concerns about what the opposing defense, in this instance the Texans defense, is going to do to make it tough for you to throw the football.
Yeah.
And he talks about how physical they play. Why not meet fire with the physicality and be able to run the football, especially if you can be as effective as they have been over the last 2 months?
I think that's what they're going to do. I kept coming back to that. I'm like, you know, I didn't know those numbers. I didn't break it down to the last eight games.
I'm a sick human being.
But that's why you're here. And so I started thinking, they're gonna, you talk about, you know, mirror images of each other. They're gonna run the ball on first down, second down, and if they can, on third down. They're gonna run the ball.
That actually reminds me, because I was looking at a lot of stats, and yes, you're going to get a lot of those over the next few days. Deal with it. But the Steelers actually have a pretty heavy first down under center run profile. Mm-hmm. So you see them get under center, there is a high likelihood that they're running the football, and I imagine that might tick up, especially because of the likes of Daniil and Will in this game.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what's going to happen. So as much as he's raving about, you know, hey, we got to be careful, they're going to rush the passer, he wants them to pin their ears back as much as they can. On these, you know, sort of in-between downs, because he's going to run the ball.
And that's not to say that they won't throw the football, right? Because I think it would be absurd to go, well, he said they make it tough to take shots, so we're not going to take any shots. Mm-hmm. That'd be an absurd way of going, and he should be fired if that's the way that he operates in all reality.
Yeah.
But there's a good chance that they try and run the damn ball in this game.
Yep.
And honestly, I'm interested to see, because the Texans have been, in a similar stretch, have been really good at stopping the run. This could be, you know.
But then it goes, we can talk for another 20 minutes if we had to about the interior of the defense.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a good thing that we have some more hours on this show. So you're listening in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I think that'll be something that'll be fun to return to, maybe even with Nick Faribault, who should be joining us at noon to talk about this team as he covers that team for PennLive.com. But coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. Apparently, Mark Cuban has been funneling even more money into the Indiana football team for good reason. In a take all my money type of display. So question of the day, what's your take all my money expenditure? 713-572-4610. We'll do it next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rock with us on this Thursday. Time for the question of the day. What's your take all my money expenditure? 713-572-4610. I'm guessing this is the thing for which you're most willing to just throw an absurd amount of money towards. Much like Indiana alum and, you know, billionaire extraordinaire Mark Cuban, who recently was talking. Where was he? Do you know where he was talking?
I don't. I should have marked it, but he was.
He'd be all over the place.
He really does.
Yeah.
I guess
it could have been on ABC.
He was encouraged to donate when Cignetti was hired and finally did. Not that he wasn't before, but I'm saying he finally did in a big way. And then this year, apparently, he's doubled or tripled or whatever it is down. Nobody knows. He just said, let's just say they're happier this year than last year. So he is just backing up the wheelbarrows into into Indiana and giving them all kinds of money. And it did get me thinking about, like, Sean said this earlier. You know, for the most part, he's pretty, tries to be pretty smart with his money.
I think we all do.
I'm pretty disciplined, you know, when it comes to spending. But there are moments, and we all have them, and that's what the question of the day is. What's your take all my money, you know, expenditure? When if I go into and I'm upset fishing equipment aside.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like we all got the easy answer there for you.
But these things?
Just fishing shirts?
Fishing shirts, especially the dry fit. I can't have enough of it. If any logo, any company, I'm like, yeah, I want one of those. Or and I mentioned this earlier, like cheese and pastries. I just can't walk. I cannot walk by them. I can't walk by a store to the point where, you know, my wife has said, let's walk to the other side of the street because she saw like this gourmet cheese shop that I was going to walk in and just start throwing a bunch of different cheeses in. And I just like nibble on that stuff all day long. I just buy it. I just said like, yes, I'll try it. It's incredible. My downfall.
Okay.
It's gonna kill me.
Very good. 281 said, Rihanna, take all my money. I have a feeling that that's more hypothetical than anything else.
I think that's Adam Spillane testing it, man.
He's a big
Rihanna fan.
Big fan.
He said that's the best Super Bowl performance ever.
For some reason, I did not realize that Adam Spillane knew ball like that. Shout out to Spo. Love you, big dog. I like that.
We all know the reason.
Absolutely.
He said he like her music.
Look, okay, is that it?
Me too, big dog. Me too. The 346 said, not willing, but my wife. Well, you know, I feel like that's the trade-off that you make, and hopefully that works. It's funny because I was trying to think about this, and I feel like I have not given myself the luxury of doing that yet in my current position.
But there's got to be something where you're like,
because, you know, I'm still working on some things financially in my life. But I think because of that, smaller things end up getting a lot more money than they should, like, I guess on percentage. candles is a weird. I think I in my apartment I might have candles, yeah. I might have 15 candles right now.
Yeah, like, candles is it.
Cuz that's cute. I got about 40 candles.
Oh wow. But is that your purchases or hers?
Both of ours. Really? We both approve of it. It was one time we actually got up around 4 a.m, Bath and Body Works had their candle sale. Mm-hmm. And so we waited in line 4 a.m. to go in. I forgot what they had, a crazy deal. I don't know if it was like 5 candles for a certain mm-hmm. price, yeah. something like that. We came out with maybe like 2 cases of candles.
Yeah. Sheesh. Yeah, but I think this is where I will try and fight back in this candle battle that we have somehow gotten ourselves into. I have a 1-bedroom apartment, my boy. You've got a house.
Hey, we had a no. This was before the house. This
really?
At the apartment.
We had a
2-bedroom apartment.
I will bow down to you. Yeah, I will pick another answer.
We still got a bunch of candles that just laying around.
Now man. You want to know where it has gotten bad recently, especially on my full return to the city of Houston. Mm-hmm. Going out to eat has gotten to be a little bit bad for me.
A lot of people have that.
It's not just frequency. It's also now the type. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to hit the Michelin star restaurants.
Oh, good for you.
Actually, earlier this week, I was at Bori up out there, like a Korean barbecue spot mm-hmm. in Spring Branch. That was not the cheapest thing in the world. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm starting to do this thing where I allow myself to go to these restaurants, and then I look at the bill, and I'm like, ooh,
yeah,
that's not what I would typically spend on a dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mine is more a little bit nerdy. I might bore some people out with this one, but studio equipment.
Oh yeah.
So I spend a lot of money. I'm looking at wires. It's a brand called Morgami wires. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much this little cord you see that hook up to the mic.
Yeah.
And it's a much better quality. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking at microphones. I was just in one of those little pawn shops. Mm-hmm. Just randomly, I was waiting to get my car fixed, and I seen some speakers. I'm like, ooh, I don't need any speakers.
You don't need them.
But I'm just like, ooh, that might look nice. And I was thinking about putting some more lights up. I'm just take all my money. Yeah. I love going to Guitar Center just to look around.
That's how you know. That's how you know it's your take all my money. When you don't even spend money, you're just spending your time thinking about spending the money.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what to spend money on. I don't even need. Every time I walk in, do you need something? Nah, I'm just looking to see
and
what
then
I
you
can
walk out with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, like ooh, you know what? I think I need this plug-in to have better audio.
Some ones that are coming in here on the text line from the 713 electric guitar. Pause. Mm-hmm. I can't play cheap guitars. That's where it is, where you're like, no, I can't even get myself to not spend money on it because it would make me feel bad.
Yeah, no, that's all my stuff when it comes to fishing. But have y'all ever, I don't know how much y'all have ever been to these Pan de Dulce places like El Bolillo over on Airline. They give you these,
I haven't yet. I will soon.
They give you these big chrome platters or aluminum or whatever.
Yeah.
So you just and some tongs.
And you just go pick
and
up
you
what
go
you want.
And pick up what you want. I need like three pieces of pastry, right? I walk out of there with 20, you know, and never going to eat them all. End up giving them, you know, to the birds or something. But I'm like,
you got my phone number.
I need that one too. I need that one too.
You got my phone number.
Yeah.
Clint be damned. I don't know what Clint's talking about. Don't eat all this bread. I'm eating it. From the 832, 80s and 90s toy collection. See, these are the ones that get interesting. Like, I'm interested, Texter. What got you there? Is this an investment or is this kind of a nostalgia play? What has you there?
Yeah.
Similarly, somebody said their card collection, sports cards,
mm-hmm.
and that's always an interesting one because I love to see, are the people doing this where they're trying to project who's going to be the next one and who's going to break out and make a really valuable card, mm-hmm. or are they doing the thing where it's just this is a player that I like and so I want to collect them? That's always interesting. Some other ones that come in. Appreciate the 281 who identifies themselves as James Harden. I feel like that's not it. But they did say strip clubs, and shout out to you for that. You can definitely run up a bill here in the great city of Houston. 832, and I really do feel sympathy for mm-hmm. for the youth sports parents.
Oh,
AAU basketball is 7-on-7 football, and mm-hmm. the training on top of it.
You know, if I really had that shooting coach. You know, yeah, let's get another shooting coach, whatever it is.
You better learn how to be a mechanic or something. Right.
Well, I mean, there's other hobbies in between this and the mechanic, but.
Man, I ain't paying for no shooting coach. Get out of here, boy.
Everybody does.
You better learn how to change a tire or something, man.
That is, though, something that I think about more than I should is mm-hmm. just how specialized the kids are so early.
Yeah, and I don't like it, to be honest.
Oh, I hate it, but I also feel like I understand how it gets there, mm-hmm. right? We're looking at the college space, and that's pros People are making money. Kids move schools in high school. That feels very professional.
High school? Hell, I've had multiple. I lived.
Don't tell me middle school kids moving for play to play
sports. I've had multiple parents tell me that he's got to be only basketball or he's got to be only football by age 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was are you kidding?
It was yeah, but not the incentive like that back like, in my day.
The lick that you get hit for, the carrot on the end of the stick is big enough where I understand
but
the motivations.
They could be a baseball
player.
They
out here being Joe Jackson. Yeah.
Also, I do think that this is hampering some of the things that we get at the top of the development curve, which is the cross-sport training.
100%.
Absolutely helped with various different things. Like I think there's certain things that you develop higher in one sport that translate in a nuanced and smaller way to these other sports that we're losing the recipes on by not having kids play more for longer.
When I was coaching, you know, in basketball seriously, there were always some big players that played football, some offensive linemen, defensive linemen. I told all of them to go join a basketball team. Every single, because of footwork, quickness, you know, ability to move and all that
hand
stuff.
Hand-eye coordination.
All of it. I said, he goes, well, I'm not a basketball. I don't care. Go play basketball.
Although I'm
go
sure
play for a team.
You set up a lot of basketball players to be run over by a football player that came with a lot of aggression. That,
those football players, in fact, shout out to Chris Yoder, ended up playing at LSU and A&M. He played a lot of basketball.
Yeah. My favorite thought is like Ricky Henderson. Mm-hmm. He never liked baseball. He had an advisor that used to pay him a nickel or like a quarter to play baseball games. Yeah. And he ends up being my favorite baseball player of all time and one of the greats that's ever happened. I don't know how he ended up on this particular soapbox, but let your kids play a whole bunch of different sports. Although I understand that costs a lot of money.
Yeah, man.
It does.
It would have never happened if it was back in my day, man. My mother would be like, boy, you better go to the corner and play some basketball.
That's all
something.
You needed to do.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's all it takes. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Thursday. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where there's another broadcaster that seems like they would be interested in jumping into the world of being on the team side. I'll tell you who next.